What I like to do is make sure that everyone in our program has what they need so I can be demanding of the results, whether it be providing time, my energy, food, equipment. I want to make sure that this program has what is best so every person within it can worry about being their best and we get the best results.
In high school football, some programs stand out not only for their wins on the field, but also for the values they instill in their players and coaches. Under the leadership of head coach Ryan Knowles, Sandpoint High School in Sandpoint, Idaho, has built a program of significance through the principles of servant leadership. Coach Knowles' approach emphasizes serving others, creating a positive environment, and fostering growth among his players and staff. After playing and serving as a graduate assistant at the University of Idaho, Coach Knowles spent 12 years at Colgate serving in various roles as defensive line coach, co-defensive coordinator, and special teams coordinator before returning home to become the head coach at his alma mater, Sandpoint High School. One key aspect of Coach Knowles' servant leadership philosophy is the emphasis on providing for both the players and the coaching staff. By ensuring that everyone has the resources they need to succeed, Coach Knowles creates an environment where individuals can thrive and excel. This approach not only leads to better results on the field, but also fosters a sense of teamwork and camaraderie among all members of the program. Furthermore, Coach Knowles has shown that servant leadership extends beyond the football field. Through innovative fundraising efforts utilizing the Vertical Raise platform, Sandpoint High School has been able to raise substantial funds to support the program. By leveraging technology and community support, Coach Knowles has demonstrated how servant leadership can translate into tangible results that benefit the entire football program and its participants. Stay tuned for our Winning Edge takeaways following the interview. What you see on tape is a direct reflection of what you teach and how you teach. Video is important, but if you don't teach well, you're not going to like what you see on your video. First Down Playbook has been helping coaches teach better for 13 years. It allows you to present installs, playbooks, and practice cards in half the time with NFL quality. Coaching tools like video pairing, a player app, practice schedules, and wristband sheets have made First Down Playbook a program management system with everything in one place. If you're in a position of leadership with your football program, receive a free one-week look at First Down Playbook. Call them at 512-814-6158 or visit them on their website or social media. Mention Coach and Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code COACH24 to receive a $100 discount off the normal $700 First Down Playbook team membership price. Links and the phone number are in the show notes. On today's episode of Coaching Coordinator, we focus on servant leadership and how being a servant leader has allowed our guest to really build a program of significance in his state. And we're talking with Ryan Knowles, who's the head coach of Sandpoint High School in Sandpoint, Idaho. Coach, great to have you here on the podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. I've been listening to a lot of your stuff in the past and excited to be part of it.
Ryan, it's great to have you here. I know your background leading up to this. You spent some time coaching college football at Colgate. Obviously, some great influences there with the coach you worked with and Dan Hunt, who's done some clinics for us on Lawrence First and Goal and supporting those efforts. And Lawrence First and Goal, obviously, that's about servant leadership too, but servant leadership, a big part of what you do. And, you know, before we got to talking, you said you've been part of kind of both extremes of the continuum of leadership from the dictator side to the servant leader side. And you've seen the same outcomes. You've seen success with that, but you feel there's definitely some advantages to being a servant leader.
Yeah. You know, when I talk about being parts of both of it, I've seen ADs that are both dictators and servants, and I've been part of head coaches that are dictators and servants. And when I took the head job at Sandpoint High School, I had to make my decisions, and based off of those things, being a servant leader really is important to me. One, I think it makes the process that much more enjoyable. I enjoy providing for the kids. I love seeing that, but I also love providing for the coaches. I want to make sure that they have every resource that they need to be successful. And that allows me to be very demanding of them and the results that they provide and reach. Because, you know, I really am a firm believer in treating adults like adults. I don't want to treat my staff like kids and micromanage them, because that squashes their passion. And sometimes that'll bite you. Sometimes your coaches want a little more direction than you're willing to give, you know. So that's the balance of it. But the top-down approach, or the kids are the top of the triangle, all stems to me, you know, has really helped me enjoy this process.
I think that's interesting, Coach. I mean, I could see, especially if you have a younger staff, you do need that direction. But this is about everybody's growth, right? Being a servant leader is helping everybody grow. And ultimately, you're developing other servant leaders, so those guys can go out and lead without dictating. And as you said, the results might be the same. Outcomes might be the same from a dictator approach to a servant approach. But this is also about the experience. This is also about what are you creating that people walk away from that can make them better in life and help other people as well.
That's right. That's right. And when it comes to, like you say, sir, how much time do you need to coach your players? I'm talking to assistants right now. Players, how, you know, here's the weight room. We open it up over vacations. And I tell them, hey, you know, if you're going on vacation, great, but I'm going to be here. I'm going to make sure this place is open if I'm in town, and come on in, and you got a place to work out. And I really feel like that they see that and they appreciate that. And the parents appreciate that you're providing that for the kids and you're serving the kids. We do something cool during the football season. We feed our kids every night, Monday through Friday. And we have a whole group of teen moms that come in and you know, cook burgers and cook chicken and make chicken teriyaki bowls. And, you know, so there are the moms serving the kids. There's the program serving the kids, you know, and there's always two rules to that. You pick up after yourself and make sure you say thank you to them. And, you know, I think it's a valuable lesson, and it creates that team chemistry that we're here to serve. We're all here together, and we're in these seats for a very short time. There's been a lot of Sandpoint High School football coaches before me, and there'll be some after me. I'm here now to make the best out of it. So.
And I know in being a servant leader, I mean, it is about providing, right? And it's not providing all the answers. It's providing a framework. And ultimately, that allows you to do a better job in taking that.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we make a lot of decisions on a daily basis. And, you know, we are ultimately going to make some wrong decisions in this process. But if you serve the kids and you're transparent about that, then, you know, sometimes it makes some of those stickier situations a little bit easier. A lot of my parent emails come to me as, thank you for all you do for this program. I have an issue with this, you know? So when those come through, it feels good. It feels good. Okay. Things aren't perfect, but you respect the time and the process that's going on here. What I like to do is make sure that everyone in our program has what they need so I can be demanding of the results, whether it be providing time, my energy, food, equipment. I want to make sure that this program has what is best so every person within it can worry about being their best and we get the best results.
I think it's interesting how you frame that. You said, so I can be demanding of the results, rather than demanding of people. For you, is there a difference in that, in the way that you see it?
Absolutely. You know, as a head coach, you have to look at the whole outcome. You can't just look at the offense or the defense or the D-line anymore. You have to look at everybody. So the results, I tell the team this all the time. The only person in our organization responsible for winning a game is me. Everyone else has their own little department. I'm the only one. So I want to make sure that each of those departments, you know, whether it be the offensive unit or the defensive unit, has what they need. And I'll worry about the winning and losing and how we balance that all out.
You talked about providing, and having been a head coach myself, I wanted to provide more for the programs that I was a part of, and fundraising becomes a big part of that. And you've had some incredible fundraisers utilizing a platform called Vertical Raise, who's the sponsor of the Coaching Coordinator podcast. The results, I mean, for a small town, these might be the best results across the country, having done three that have been in the 150s, 120s, and 130s, very big funds raised. And not that they that you weren't doing fundraising before, but you utilized this platform, you utilized this technology to basically almost double what was a traditional fundraiser.
Yeah. And when I took this job, one of my mentors, Satini Palloa, was my high school coach, and he coached it for years and he still lives in town. And he told me, he said, Ryan, if you take this job, just remember that the high school coaches at Sandpoint has to be a fundraiser. You have to raise money. The school district does what they can, but it doesn't do enough. So I hit the ground running with my fundraising hat on. Like, all right, this is part of the job. When I first started, I didn't have vertical raise. We just did a truck raffle every year. We did a Lost in the 50s car, like an old Corvette. We'd raffle it off, do the tickets, beat the streets like a lot of us have done. COVID comes around and I'm sitting on the couch. And you know, if you remember right in the shutdown, the CNN live reports and all of that. So at one point you're afraid to open the door. You don't know what's outside. And this is right when we got our first truck donated and we're just getting ready to go beat the streets. And you know, the COVID hits and we go a complete shutdown. So we actually just, you know, turned the truck back over to the dealership. They sold it. And I called Matt Troxel of Vertical Raise and said, hey, I need to run a fundraiser. And he said, well, I got just the thing for you. And I'd heard about his company. And we launched a fundraiser from the couch. And I'm not kidding you, I didn't leave the house. I didn't leave the house. And in 3 weeks, we had raised $36,000. And, you know, it felt pretty good. You know, I was like, okay, not bad. Didn't pay the bills that year, but got a lot out of that for just trying to hit the curveball here, like we all did in that time. So the following year comes about, and Taylor and Son Chevrolet in town is the one who donates the car. When they say they donate, it's an amazing donation by the family and the dealership both. So they donate a car, and we put it into Vertical Raise in the sense that everyone that donates to Vertical Raise gets a ticket for this car that we pull at halftime of our homecoming game in October, and we blow this thing out of the water. I mean, we raise $150,000. And going back to, again, I share this with my mentor, Coach Palloa, and he's just shaking his head, you know, because the best they ever did without vertical raise was about $75,000. So we double that. And he's shaking my head in two things. One, vertical raise is amazing, but two, more humbling for me was, you know, Ryan, that's a testament to your program and how much people believe in what you're doing there. People don't donate to things that they don't believe in. And so it was very, very humbling experience. And Vertical Raise really took it to the next level. There's no doubt about it. So,
yeah, I've been able to learn a lot about Vertical Raise here over the last 6 months. Trox was on the podcast when he was making that transition during COVID from AAF to Vertical Raise. And honestly, I didn't know a lot about it then. And of course, I do now. But what an incredible platform. I know any fundraiser you do, traditional fundraiser, is a lot of work. And I think you hit on an important aspect of there. And I always believe this to be true, is that when you're raising funds, it's not necessarily because, oh, I'm going to win, you know, these Super Bowl squares and win some money here, or, you know, that's part of it, or I want this cookie dough, or
right,
whatever it might be. Ultimately, they're buying or donating because they support you, because they support a program. And so when you have a platform that just can get to more people by harnessing technology, ultimately, it's just going to raise the amount of funds you're able to bring in.
Well, that's just the thing, is people want to donate. I've donated to hundreds of things over the years, and I want it to be simple. And when I launch a fundraiser, I like to get the kids to think about those people that when they get the donation request by email, that person is going to reach into their pocket, pull out their wallet, and put in their credit card information. I hope we all have four or five people like that. You know, I can think of the people that I would do that for in my life. And I don't have to write a check. I don't have to get a stamp. You know, I lived in New York coaching at Colgate for all the years. A lot of my family's in Idaho. And you know, they'd ask, but I just never get around to mailing the check, you know, so now I don't have to worry about it. We can just do it online. Two things that leads to: one, cash free. You don't have kids running around with cash in their hand and baggies and all that stuff. And those get to be transactional nightmares. And the other thing about Vertical Raise, that's just such a difference maker is live reps. You know, I'm a live rep in North Idaho, and I get to go and talk to coaches all over there and share these stories. But I also get to talk with them about sports and kids and the school districts and the leadership models that we already talked about. And you really get to know the fabric of the area. So that's really been, we talked about this a little bit before, but that became a fix for me because I don't get to recruit anymore. You know, going school to school. When I was at Colgate, I was recruiting Ohio and Pittsburgh. So I'd know all these high school coaches all over the place. And I didn't realize how much I missed that. So I started doing vertical raise again, getting to talk with these people again. So,
yeah, I think in knowing how the technology works, all those things you described here are things I really did not want to deal with in fundraising. You know, it was a necessary evil. Things like, okay, we're collecting money today. And just being sure of, hey, let's get some boosters in here too. And everybody sit down on the table as this money's coming in. So everything's clean and clear. And it's all a nightmare that's solved by the technology. And, you know, even today, I know kids will come knocking on the door. And a lot of times I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash right now. Right.
That's right.
I think that's one aspect. The other, when you're harnessing technology like this and you're utilizing, you know, these kids have contacts all over the place, the fundraiser doesn't necessarily always inundate your community being inundated with fundraising.
That's right. And as I go through, you know, I run vertical raises for other programs in Sandpoint as well. And, you know, everyone always talks about donor fatigue and we're fundraising too much. Well, public schools have to fundraise. You know, and if you're not using vertical raise, you're doing something else. And, you know, why not use the leader in the industry? Why not use the most simplest approach, the one that requires the least out of the coaches? And, you know, I look around and at all the schools I represent and all most of the championship programs in the area like vertical raise because they can just call me and say, hey, when can you come in? I'll give them a time. And I show up and get their kids organized and leave. And they get a check 3 weeks later for about $10,000. So, I mean, that's a complete example, but that's pretty dang consistent.
Yeah, that's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that. And as we said, Vertical Raise, we're really appreciative of them being a sponsor on this podcast. Things that can help coaches, and I firmly believe in Vertical Raise and what they do.
As coaches, we know that some of the biggest hurdles to our team's success can come from off the field. Your team needs support to tackle the endless list of expenses, uniforms, training equipment, travel, and more. But raising that money can feel like a full-time job. Thankfully, there's Vertical Raise. Vertical Raise is the premier online fundraising platform using innovative technology to create the easiest and most efficient system available. Raise more money in less time with a local fundraising coach who works with your team every step of the way to customize the ideal fundraiser. With options for online donations, digital discount cards, premium product sales, and even spirit shops, Vertical Raise has top-of-the-line solutions for every fundraising style. To find out more, visit verticalraise.com and we'll get you connected with an exclusive offer on your first fundraiser.
I've always been interested in the use of technology to make our jobs more effective, so I'm excited to continue sharing modern football technology with you here on the podcast. This innovative system leverages tendencies to improve self-scouting, game planning, and in-game decision-making at the speed of the game. Modern football stands out because it's a battle-tested platform used by teams at all levels, like four-time national champion Bishop Gorman, the five-time California State champion Folsom Bulldogs, six-time Texas State champion Lake Travis, Cal football, and the CFL's Grey Cup champions, the Montreal Alouettes. So book a demo today to see why these teams trust modern football technology. Visit www.teammofo.com/demo and mention Coaching Coordinator Podcast or use the coupon code CC10 to receive 10% off your first year.
I do want to get back into your program and small school, a little over 1,000 students, but more than 10% of the students in that school are playing football. And that's, you know, not common anymore to see, even in a bigger school, having 140. I mean, I know football has numbers in sports in general have struggled here recently, but
you know, you see that in football, decreasing numbers, et cetera. You guys have 140 playing in your program. And what's great is the way it's set up for you. You're able to work with those guys daily too. As you said, I'm throwing jabs instead of left hooks.
That's right. Fortunate to have them in lifting class every day and being able to work with them and see them, you know, and I bring a group in before school every day and have a group after school every day too. So it's the full package, but trying to give them all the pieces that a quality program needs. Having them in class, I get to do the grade checks and the academic checks and the, you know, I get to throw them on a scale and make sure that they're, you know, they're gaining weight. And obviously we get to bench squat, clean, deadlift, you know, who doesn't, you know, hopefully if you want a chance, you got to be doing the basics there, but we get to do speed school after school. And it's pretty powerful setup here.
I know we talked a little bit about core values before we got going, and for you, you have 7 core values that really drive the way you do things. And I think you're right in stating this, that it's tough to teach 7 core values. One, just the time you have. You know, we had Steve Steele on, 7-time state champion from South Dakota. And he talked about two, he called them non-negotiables, but really what he called turn off the darkness and then family. Those are the two core values that they're going to teach all the time, and then they tailor something for that next team that fits with them. And I think it's the same point you're making here, that if I teach 7, there's going to be things lost in the shuffle. It's going to get watered down. We're going to lose the message. And I think being focused, being simple, you know, whether that's your core values or your offense or defense, there's a lot more that's going to lend itself to better execution of those things.
Well, that's right. And although I work my 7 into everything, I hammer home a couple of them, and really, really 2 of them. Like, you know, like for example, our motto this year coming up is execute 105. And, you know, that's a little bit of a coded word because people ask me, what does execute 105 mean? And I'll share it on here. We lost in the quarterfinals last year in the playoffs, and we, our first round of the playoffs, I don't think we could have played better. We had 10 explosive plays. We didn't give up any on defense. We had 5 turnovers. We ran the ball for 300 yards. We didn't give up 100 yards. We got all of our goals, and we executed lights out. But when we go on the road, and it was the opposite. We didn't execute, played a very good team that we fell to. So when I look at the difference between those two games, I wanted to emphasize this year with the term execute. So I'm going to use the word execute a lot this year. That's one of my core values, but I don't use that every year. This is a year, you know, we talk about it, but I'm hammering it home this year. The 105, we're the 105th Sandpoint football team to take the field. That leads into the humility theme, you know, like, let's be humble. There's 104 teams before us. There's going to be however many teams after us. And this is 105. Let's worry about the 105. Let's be humble to that. We're not necessarily special, you know, to the 104, but we are special because it's the now and we control this. But there's a couple of themes that I work in. The ones that they hammer weekly, it comes back to toughness, you know, and everyone talks about toughness, but trying to take it to the next level. Toughness is the ability to withstand strain. And I try and get all my kids to recite that. What is toughness? The ability to withstand strain. And everyone jumps to the word toughness and, oh yeah, football's tough. Well, there's a lot of other things that are tough out there, not just football. So taking it to the bigger picture of how are you withstanding the strain of the classroom, of your social life, of your family life, you know, of your financial life. It's a great segue into, this is a constant battle. How do we toughen ourselves up? So, you know, you related to a storm coming through, and, you know, I always, one of my first examples is a barn in the middle of the field and the tornado's coming. Is that barn going to be there when the tornado's passed, or is it going to blow away? And how can we make ourselves as tough, as resilient as possible, and not as fragile as we can be? And that leans back to the weight room and everything we do in there on a constant, you know, all year round process. The toughness is really important to me, and we use that a lot. The second one is courage. Courage is mistaked as toughness a lot of times. Courage is the ability to face uncomfortable situations. And we all have them. We gotta at some point approach conflict. you know, but we got to have the ability to do that. I think it takes a lot of courage to play football. I don't think it takes courage to coach football. I think it takes courage to play football. And that's, I heard that from somewhere and it struck a chord. No question, you know, to go out and coach, we love it. We don't have to go get in harm's way. We get to send our kids in there, but we don't have to do it. So it doesn't take courage to coach well, but the players, absolutely. So we talk about that. We talk about the courage it takes and how we can build that courage to get a kid that maybe is a little bit afraid and shy and worried about going into the situation to be confident. And, you know, I've watched the weight room transform kids into being confident individuals that are ready to go out and be the hammer, not the nail, if you will.
I love it. I mean, love hearing the story of your program, how you've built it on servant leadership. You know, certainly we'd love to have you back again. I think there's a lot you have to share through your experiences. We just touched on some of those here today. But best of luck to you and the Sandpoint Bulldogs here in 2024. And I'm going to have to get in on that truck raffle and win it. So I have a reason to get out to Idaho.
Well, that's a beautiful truck. And it'll be sitting on the lot when you win it. Okay. And come out here and enjoy Sandpoint, Idaho.
Awesome, Coach. Great talking with you here. And again, good luck this year.
Thanks for having me.
Here are Winning Edge takeaways and ideas for implementation. 1, embrace servant leadership. Incorporating servant leadership into your coaching approach can help you build a program of significance. By prioritizing the needs of your players and staff, providing resources, and fostering a supportive environment, you can create a positive and impactful program. 2, focus on core values. Define and emphasize core values that align with your coaching philosophy and the program goals. Keep these values simple and focused, ensuring that they're consistently reinforced. This will help shape the culture of your team and guide decision-making processes. And 3, utilize technology for fundraising. Leveraging technology platforms like Vertical Raise can revolutionize your fundraising efforts. By streamlining the donation process, reaching a broader audience, and reducing administrative burdens, you can increase fundraising success and support your program's financial needs effectively. And looking at all the platforms that utilize technology, Vertical Raise has many advantages and benefits for a program. The link to Vertical Raise is in the show notes. Follow all we're doing at coachandcoordinator.com. Sign up there for our weekly tip sheet, which shares the best ideas of each week. And follow us on X at Coach K. Grabowski.